Hi everyone and welcome to the latest episode of the Product Marketing Insider podcast. I'm your host Lawrence Chapman and I'm the Senior Copywriter here at Product Marketing Alliance. During the next few episodes, I'm going to be turning back the clock to the Product Marketing Summit in San Francisco, where I welcome a bunch of guests to the live podcast stage for in-depth, insightful discussions on a variety of topics. And in this episode, I'll bring you my chat with Celine Tyler, Senior Director and Head of Product Marketing at Dolby Laboratories. Celine's a versatile B2B product marketer with product marketing and product management background and various end-to-end product development and launch experience. We discussed what product marketers need to consider when building and scaling their product marketing teams. Okay, and welcome back to the PMA podcast. So I'm delighted to be joined by Celine Tyler. So Celine is the Senior Director and Head of Product Marketing at Dolby Laboratories. Thank you so much for joining me, Celine.
I am so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure. So I'm going to be focusing on how to build and scale product marketing teams with yourself. So first and foremost, can you just give us a little bit of a background into your role at Dolby?
Please? Yeah, of course. So I head up product marketing. What that means is both inbound and outbound aspects of product marketing.
Yeah.
And we work in kind of a lattice type of an organization. As you may know, Dolby is in various entertainment categories. So some of our products are content related. And we call those passion points like music, cinema, etc. And then we also have a role in devices and being able to play back the content in Dolby. So we also have a device focus area. And my team kind of looks at that in a matrix way. Some folks focusing on products, some folks on passion points. And we come together to bring these products to life together.
Oh, that's amazing. So, and what is what does the actual like product marketing team structure itself look like at Dolby?
Yeah, so we sit within marketing.
Okay.
But we mostly interface with our product management teams. Mm-hmm. I would probably call it a healthy and intentional tension of, you know, making sure that the rubber hits the road with marketing and we have all our marketing counterparts that we work very closely with. But then our product management team takes us into the future. And so we are looking at that, you know, healthy intersection of being in the future and in the present time and maximizing opportunities.
Yeah, absolutely. You just need to almost like just show a little bit of foresight sometimes, don't you? Just anticipate what's around the corner, as hard as it may be sometimes. But in terms of switching attention to building and scaling teams, what are some of the hard and soft skills that you look for in product marketers who may be wanting to join the product marketing team at Dolby?
Yeah, so I would probably say this is a bit of a cliche answer, but to me, the hard skills are storytelling, obsession with a customer or consumer, whoever you're selling to. The second one is being really data-driven. It's a tough role in itself, so you have to be data-driven to be able to prioritize things right. I would also say solid go-to-market skills, but I've seen folks who have really good analytical and strategic thinking who can display that. So in our interviews, we always have a go-to-market case interview just because we want to show them what the job is going to be like. And then soft skill-wise, I think it's cross-functional team management and being able to, you know, handle a lot of different stakeholders, ability to present in internal and external engagements, so having that presence. And then the last thing is, I would say a good egg. Like, I think it's also really important to work with someone you love and that you enjoy working with. So we look for people who will have that kind of good energy to them and will have fun with things as things get tough.
Yeah, sure. It definitely goes a long way, doesn't it? Like, well, you know, you need to be working with somebody who you get along with, basically. you know, 100% see where you're coming from with that.
Yeah, and I feel like it's also just like good sense of humor when things go south.
Definitely.
Able to laugh at it.
Definitely, yeah, yeah. And just kind of like going back to what you're saying about storytelling, what does obviously like compelling storytelling look like from your perspective?
Yeah, so I always start with, you know, we look at obviously like what the product value proposition is. But at the end of the day, we all have to be honest with ourselves that nobody wakes up in the morning and says, I wonder what kind of problems Dolby could solve for me, right? They wake up with our customers wake up with their own things that they worry about. So being able to understand that and can really feel into that viscerally and turn the product value prop into something that will you know, really excite whoever you're talking to, whoever your target audience is, rather than saying, this is a great product, I don't know what your problems are.
Yeah. And in terms of going back to scaling your team, how do you know when the time is right to scale? Because sometimes you scale too early, sometimes you scale too late. So when can you pinpoint the time that's perfect for that to happen?
So I guess you don't. You make mistakes. But I would say there's a few indicators I look at. And I think it's also important to know what your bias is. I would rather scale on the later side than on the earlier side. So I'm really stingy with headcount asks. I will wait until we're bursting at the seams. So the first thing I look at is just kind of a rule of thumb on, for us, it's a PM to PMM ratio. As I was saying earlier, we work most closely with a product management org. But if you're working with a sales org and if you're looking at those ratios, it's kind of understanding what organization are you working closely with and where are they investing and should we follow suit? So that's the number one thing I look at. And then after that, I look at, is this a temporary surge? Are we trying a new product? If so, I would probably have the team test it out, see where it's going before we invest. For me, it's also really important to look at internal team, and I would like to invest in their growth first. So is this a growth opportunity for folks on the team? Is this a new skill that we absolutely have to hire? Just a few of those factors. And then lastly, I look at, is there anything we can drop? So again, with that bias towards doing it on the later side, if there's something I can drop and add this new, product or category into the mix, I would rather do that. Is there an opportunity for me to restructure the team so that, fallacy that we fall into is as we increase the number of products, we tend to increase the number of product marketers. But is there a way to group the products so each product marketing manager is looking at a group of products that makes sense, that work cohesively in their line of sight versus adding more folks and creating a more siloed approach?
Okay. And in terms of in some instances, teams can scale too quickly. What are some of the risks that come along with that? Why is that necessarily a bad thing?
Well, first of all, the cost, right? You don't want to be increasing your costs ahead of the revenue you can see. So that's probably the one practical way of looking at it. And I think it's better to wait than, see folks not be challenged, not having the right level of opportunities. I think when you scale too quickly, what you end up with is worst of both worlds. You both have a team of overworkers, but then somehow the work feels really disconnected. What I mean by that is, at a place like Dolby, right, we have so many different products that we're working with. You can see people over investing because they are doing their best and they're not necessarily. The way I look at it is, if you increase the workload or your output by 20%, is that yielding to 20% or more revenue? And if it's not, there's probably an opportunity to scale back and, really make the team more efficient. And then the other thing that's happening is, if you have too big of a team that has so many disparate products, it's hard to find those interdependencies. And so things are both shallow in a way because they're not interconnected.
Yes, sir.
And then too deep in some ways, that's not really yielding to, impact.
Okay. And in terms of any challenges that you've experienced when scaling and building teams as well, that's almost like some of the main obstacles that you've faced, and more importantly, how did you overcome those?
So I think one of the challenges is when to bring in an all-star athlete versus someone who's really, really specialized. So in some of the categories we're building, in some of them we're bringing in all-star athlete type who will be able to do, anything you throw at them and will scale. But in some instances, you just need to bring someone who's extremely focused in a certain aspect of the job, and you will not have anybody on the team who will be able to do that. So I think that's one of the questions that you need to ask yourself, how specialized of a person do you need? And I think the other one is, as you're thinking of scaling, are there templates, processes, things of that nature that will help you with scale without bogging the team too much into processes? So what's that right balance of almost like a go-to-market playbook that you can create for and with the team but then, you know, also make sure that they're bringing in their flavor and they can expand from there. So just to the aspect of being able to not reinvent the wheel every time, but you have a scalable process for the folks.
And in terms of those resources that you mentioned, how do you communicate the value to your to your team? Because quite often, you know, it is the case that sometimes, you know, you can put all these awesome resources together, but they just don't get used. So how do you make sure that they're being used across, you know, across your team, but in some cases across the company?
So I think that was one lesson that I did learn, is that you don't create the processes. You ask the team to create the processes. So there is ownership. And every step of the way, they are bought into whatever, you know, that they are building. And we do that with our cross-functional partners. We actually create the process. You know, I have folks on the team who raise their hand for subject matter expertise, like how to do research with our research team, and they build a process with the research team, and there is from day one that ownership. But I think you can't sway too much in the direction of having the team build everything. So you need to kind of create a structure around, these are some of the things that we need, here's the overall structure we're looking for, but then have the team actually build that playbook with you every step of the way. I think that's worked the best for us.
Okay, brilliant. And in turning our attentions to your personal approach, so how would you describe your leadership style, and like what approach do you take when building and scaling teams?
Yeah, so I would say for me, every person on my team, I call them a lead, because I want them to be the lead of their own category, and I want them to feel like the leader and the ultimate decision maker. For me, the best decisions are made closest to the data source. So for me, that is empowering the team. And my role in the background is two things. One is to always look out for them for the right level of challenge. I would say this is kind of how I operate. For me, every day you need to be slightly scared to a certain extent. That's where growth comes, right? Like when you're working out, you feel that pain. That's when you know your muscles are working. And for everybody, that's different. Some people are adrenaline junkies. They want to be 90% scared all the time. That's great. You just need to find your own magic number. For me, it's somewhere in the 20%. It changes daily. But it's finding your own discomfort level, and me as a manager giving you the safety net so you can be in that discomfort and a place for growth. That's what I really care about as a manager. And as a leader, I think it's setting the vision and every leader finding their own, you know, vision under that as they lead their own products and categories. So my motto is, I say to folks, I want you to look back on this experience and have it be one of your best growth experiences. And that's what I like to promise as a leader.
Oh, no, that's... I totally understand where you're coming from with like just pushing yourself out of it, because the way that I look at it as well, you know, you don't want to kind of be coasting. So, you know, making sure that you're stepping out of that comfort box, I think that's really important. So, focusing on yourself and your career so far. So what would you say your biggest product marketing success story is so far?
I mean, I feel like I've been really fortunate in the products I launched, but I would say I think my latest Dolby experience is probably one of the most fulfilling in many dimensions. One is, you know, when I started at Dolby, it was a newly formed team. So being able to bring everyone up to speed on a new vision, a new way of working, we went from more of a sales enablement MarCom type of a role to a full product lifecycle product marketer, and being everybody, you know, bringing everybody along that journey was a really fulfilling experience. And I feel like we've built a top-notch product marketing team from scratch. And then when you look at, you know, I think one of the most important things are the product launches. And I feel like we've done some really amazing work in the last 2 years I've been there. And I'm really proud of what we've accomplished.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic. And in terms of anybody who you've looked up to in particular, are there any product marketing leaders that you've looked at and thought, you know, I love the way that they cooperate, I love the way that they do things, and have you applied any of their styles within your own practice?
Yeah, so that's a really good question. I didn't want to pick favorites, but as you were talking about this, I actually thought of a sales leader that I loved learning from at LinkedIn. Well, he's no longer at LinkedIn, but when I was at LinkedIn, Mike Gamson was one of the best sales leaders that I had the opportunity to learn from, not directly, but, you know, through a lot of the trainings he's done. And he is an extremely data-driven person, has this incredible validation process that really gets to the heart of what I talked about with, you know, being a customer obsessed. So learning to be customer obsessed from him has been a privilege. And he's also just an incredible person who talks about, you know, he would have these conversations with the teams around, hey, you're looking at me now and you're looking at my career and you aspire to be in my seat one day. But remember, I have been in your seat with the exact same feeling. And I think that just makes you reach farther and know that that path is there for you to be a leader or, you know, whatever you want to be, you aspire to be.
Yeah, absolutely. It just makes everything seem like a little bit more obtainable when you can see like a tangible person in front of you who's been in the exact same position as you. So, no, absolutely. And in terms of any like particular golden nuggets that you would want anybody listening to this podcast to take away in terms of building and scaling teams, is there anything that you think, right, that is like an indispensable tip that I want to make sure that people take away?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I feel like the most important thing I probably already said, I think being stingy around hiring people is really important.
Okay.
So that's my number one tip, is be at that place where you're bursting at the seams to then decide what you want to do next if it's the right opportunity to scale the team. And I think number two is really building that repeatable success mechanism so that, you know, when you look at the success of a launch or of a certain category. So we have, for example, a new category launch playbook. So whenever we're thinking of a new launch or new category that we're going into, like we've just gotten into podcasts recently, we have a method to launching that category with our cross-functional partners. So being able to create that repeatable success, I think, is really important, because before you know it, the team gets really big and it gets really out of control.
Yeah.
And I think the last portion is culture. I think it's really important. I mean, when I'm interviewing people, you know, there's a lot of demand for product marketers right now. So when I'm interviewing people and I meet someone who's incredibly talented, but that doesn't have that good egg factor that I talked to you about, it's so gut-wrenching to say no to them. But then when you hire that amazing person who just, you know, who's there to help everyone on the team, who is that great communicator among the cross-functional team, that's when you know, okay, I know that I didn't scale as quickly as I could. I had to interview 5 more people for this role. It was gut-wrenching to say no to someone who was so talented, but the overall composition of the team and the way they work together is magic. Like, to me, that trade-off, I would make that every day.
Okay. And last but by no means least, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining me. I just wanted to ask you, how do you see product marketing developing even further in 2023?
Good question. I would probably say that we are in a really, I mean, when I started product marketing, I was actually interviewing for a product manager role because I didn't even know this role existed. So I'm dating myself. And I think it didn't quite exist. And the person I was interviewing asked me, so what are you excited about with product management? And I told her, well, it's the customer centricity, being able to translate the technology into a story. And she was like, that's so interesting. I feel like you really want to be a product marketer. And I was like, oh, that's a job? you know, she referred me to a product marketing job. And, you know, this many years later, that is my career. And I love doing it every day. But I think in the last decade or so, we defined what product marketing is. And now I think it's time to dial the knobs to make it more efficient. I mean, we all know the year ahead of us is going to be, you know, economically a tough one. We need to all make really serious trade-offs and be a lot more efficient. So I think it's going to be that. The name of the game will be, should I hire one more person? How much more can we say no to? We're just in the planning process right now, which I'm sure many folks are, as we're thinking about our fiscal year 23. What can we do less of? What can we do bigger but better? I think are all the right questions that's top of my mind.
Yeah. I'm going to be really cheeky and tag one more question on.
Okay.
Just on the back of the accidental product marketer route into the role. So In terms of, I mean, it sounds like, I mean, you said yourself you didn't know that a product marketing, you know, position existed. How can product marketers and product marketing teams do more to almost like bring more exposure to the position and to the function itself? I mean, there's so many people in companies who may be in the position that you're in now who don't know what product marketing is or, you know, that it even exists. Mm-hmm. So what can we do to make sure that everybody knows how good product marketers are and how, you know, how awesome everything can be?
So I think there's a carrot and a stick model there. The carrot is, you know, when I came to Dolby, and I've done this with every org that I worked at, I talked to my cross-functional partners to understand where their pain points are, and do a lot of pilot programs with them to show the value of product marketing. So rather than speak, it's really showing the value. And we've done that in the last 2 years at Dolby. And I think that's how we were able to go from more of a sales effectiveness, sales enablement function to a full product marketing function. And I think there's also the stick. So I always tell my team, let the car crash. I got your back. And it's really not filling in the cracks and just being invisible to everyone when you're filling in the cracks. But, you know, when something is not, when you don't have enough time to react to something, I say this is my lead time to doing XYZ is 2 weeks. You didn't give me that many weeks. Therefore, I will not be able to review this. Therefore, this product launch is going to have this thing lacking from it. And having people learn the hard way that they're, you know, it takes time and effort to get things right. And I think conferences like this, it's awesome to have these and be able to talk to each other, be inspired, and then go out to the world with more of a conviction of what we should do, what other companies are doing, be inspired by each other.
Oh, fantastic. Well, thank you so much. It's been an absolute delight talking to you.
Yeah. Likewise.
Enjoy the rest of the summit.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
All right.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Product Marketing Insider, and thanks so much for tuning in. In the meantime, keep your eyes peeled for upcoming episodes, and be sure to check out our previous shows in which we speak with product marketers from the likes of Salesforce, Google, LinkedIn, Crayon, Adobe, and so much more. Plus, we've got a collection of other podcasts waiting for you, hosted by industry experts, with each series focusing on core areas of product marketing, such as sales enablement, go-to-market, win-loss strategies, competitive intelligence, and storytelling, to name just a few. Check out the collection in full at www.productmarketingalliance.com/podcasts.